Cosmic Shed.
You're listening to The Cosmic Shed, a show that explores the way science and storytelling collide.
We'll be talking about films, books, music, theatre, TV, and anything else that catches our curiosity. From rigorously accurate science fact to ridiculously speculative science fiction.
We don't want to nitpick, but to celebrate the ways science and art can complement and enrich each other.
Mostly, we just want to talk about nerdy things that make us happy.
We've decided to do all of this from a crumbling garden shed somewhere in suburban Bristol.
The Cosmic Shed.
Science fact.
Science fiction.
And everything in between. Hello and welcome to a bonus episode of The Cosmic Shed. I'm Andrew and with me today is...
Ben.
And Ben has just got back from North Wales, where he has been at the Sci-Fi Weekender 6.
That's right. Yeah, I'm still coming down to earth from that experience.
I dare say you were very, very jealous that I wasn't there. But you did promise me that you'd bring back some audio, and you have done that. So what have you been up to?
It's a 3-day event, and it's an annual celebration of science fiction and fantasy and lots of stuff, gaming, all sorts. They have special guests there. I saw Sylvester McCoy and Sophie Aldred speak, which was obviously a lovely thing. They were one of my first childhood science fiction experiences on Doctor Who. They had some people from Game of Thrones. They had the people who created Judge Dredd talking. They had some really interesting authors doing talks. They had film screenings. They had quizzes. They had an amazing band called Darth Elvis and the Imperials.
What?
They are an Elvis tribute band, but they play songs with a Star Wars twist. So when you see them, Darth Elvis is in his big black cape, but with a white jumpsuit underneath. Stormtrooper on the drums. You've got Darth Maul on guitar.
A TIE fighter pilot on bass.
And they do a whole range of classic Elvis songs, but with the lyrics slightly adjusted to fit into the Star Wars universe.
I've got to hear this.
Really fun night with the band. Lots of people dancing in the audience in different costumes. There were loads of stormtroopers, superhero costumes, robot costumes. There was a Jar Jar Binks as well.
No, what?
I don't know how that happened. I'll link to some photos on the website.
We should get those guys in the shed.
That would be amazing. Yeah, they're based in Aberdeen. We'll link to their website and all that kind of stuff.
So what else did you get up to?
Well, a big part of the Sci-Fi Weekender is cosplay, of course. Lots of people out and about in costumes. So again, I'll link to some photos. Lots of people in amazing costumes.
Not least yourself, Ben, I have to say.
Well, I thought as I was going, I should make the efforts. And because Sylvester McCoy was going to be there, I chose not to dress up as the Doctor, but one of his enemies from the Sylvester McCoy series. And I chose the Candyman, who appears in the episodes. There's 3 episodes in the story of the Happiness Patrol. The Candyman was one of the monsters that really terrified me as an 8-year-old kid. I really shouldn't have been watching it, I don't think. The Candyman is a robot who makes sweets, a robot confectioner, and he had this really scary, high-pitched, angry voice. And he had lived in this candy kitchen, and he menaced the Doctor, and it just seared on my memory. I can't eat licorice all sorts to this day. His head kind of looks like a Bertie Bassett-style head.
You're very happy to dress up as licorice all sorts, but not...
Well, I thought it would be a good sort of purging, you know, to dress up as a kind of... So, yeah, I made the costume. It took quite a while, It was very higgledy-piggledy and handmade.
It's but amazing.
It was fun.
You can
it
see the pictures on Facebook and Twitter of the Cosmic Shed.
There's a competition for the best costume. So yeah, I entered the competition, and amazingly, I was in this helmet in the head that I made, which had very... It was a mistake. The head was a mistake, I think, because the eye holes were too small, so I couldn't really see where I was going. It kind of blocked my hearing. I felt completely cut off from the world.
Oh, sounds good.
I don't know. It's fun for a moment, but then you kind of start stumbling and people start speaking to you and you sort of... But anyway, so yeah, I went up on stage and entered the competition. Somehow I got through to the finals, which is very exciting. Very exciting. So I got up on stage with eight other... either single costumes or groups. There was a Mad Max group who were very nice guys. There was a couple who were cosplaying the Lego Movie.
Oh, right.
Yeah, who were brilliant. And there were some robots from Futurama. And then, yeah, we had to go out on stage, and it was the biggest cheer that won.
Right.
The Candyman did not get a big cheer. Well, I think most people were terrified of him, which was... But anyway, I didn't win. The very deserved winners were a group of kids who dressed up in Tim Burton costumes.
No hard feelings.
But no, it was a really fun experience. And also, probably the best part of the whole weekend was getting to talk to lots of interesting people. I managed to do some very brief interviews with some authors that I met, someone who helped organise the festival, and some people who just turned up and were doing... some cosplay.
And what did you talk to them about?
I started off by asking everyone, what brought you to the Sci-Fi Weekender?
My name is A.S. Chambers. I'm a writer of urban fantasy, film noir, and short horror stories as well. My main character is a poor chap by the name of Sam Spallucci, who is an investigator of the paranormal, which I put through hell and back on a regular basis in an alternate version of my hometown Lancaster. My latest book, well, there's two out at the moment, Ghosts from the Past, which is a Sam Spallucci novel, and All Things Dark and Dangerous, which is a collection of short horror stories. Oh, Sci-Fi Weekend. This is my fourth time here. I just love it. I came to my first event as like a member of the public, came with my son, and we just had a well of a time. And at that time, I was actually writing my first Sam Spallucci book. I then came as a writer the first year, just my books and a few little bits of stock to sell, and I've never looked back. I really love the event. You get so many Comic Cons where it feels like a bit of a meat grinder, you know, it's say hello, sign the book, say goodbye. Whereas here, you can sit and chat to people. You've got a lot more space. It's over, you know, Thursday through to Sunday. Yeah, it's far more relaxed. It's probably my favourite event, so I come back every year. For those of you who can't see, I'm actually sat here in my black waistcoat, wing-like tip shirt and a cravat. You've got a dress to enjoy the occasion. I do feel that.
I'm Michelle, and in real life, I manage an art gallery. I have come today as a Psy judge from 2000 AD. The most famous judge in the Psy department is Judge Anderson. From the Judge Dredd stories, and it involves a leather cat suit, a massive eagle strapped to my right shoulder, and various weaponry that I use for beating up perps. I've got a 3-year-old and a 9-year-old, and they really love geeky stuff. My daughter's obsessed with Daleks and Doctor Who, and my son is massively into Star Trek and table gaming, so it's the ideal place for him, really. We go to lots of cons, but the nice thing about this is, you know, it reminds me of childhood holidays by the sea in a caravan, and plus we get to do all the things that we like to do at cons, like dressing up, meeting actors, writers, and things like that. I like the kind of party atmosphere here, which again makes it different to other cons. You know, last year we ended up doing a massive conga with all these different characters from every genre of sci-fi imaginable, and it was the best fun that I've ever had.
My name is Bryony Pierce, and I write books for teenagers, and my books tend to be very character-led, quite dark, paranormal or science fiction sort of themes. The first book I wrote was called Angel's Fury. It's sort of reincarnation, fallen angels, Nazis, psychopathic killers, all that sort of fun stuff. My second book is called The Weight of Souls. And there's secret societies, there's Egyptian gods, there's ghosts, there's a terrifying darkness. Phoenix Rising, which is out on the 1st of June, is a post-apocalyptic pirate story. And then I have another book coming out in November, which is set on a terraformed Mars called Windrunner. So I've got some sci-fi in there, I've got some horror, I've got some paranormal thriller, but it's all for teenagers. Well, I came last year and it was so much fun, I could not come again this year. You get to meet so many really interesting people who are all interested in the same thing that you're interested in as you go about your normal life. You have to, in a way, almost hide the part of you that is a complete geek, because people look at you funny, you know, and you come here and everybody's talking about the books that you like to read and the films that you really like to watch and the games you like to play, and they're wearing the things you'd really like to be able to wear, and it's just such a great sense of community. I just really, really enjoyed it last year, so back again this year.
Hi, my name is Louis Savvy and I'm the founder and festival director for the London International Festival of Science Fiction and Fantastic Film, or Sci-Fi London. Well, I started the festival, 15 years ago now, because somebody told me they didn't like science fiction. And I just thought it was ridiculous. It's like saying that I like jazz, you know. You don't have to like Dixie or Miles Davis, but you can't ignore the influence of it. And it's a good place to play if you're in music. You know, you can let your imagination go wild. And I think science fiction is very much the same, you know. It's not just Star Trek and Doctor Who and Star Wars. You know, there are so many good films and TV shows, comic books, games and so on that are heavily influenced by sci-fi and have influenced our culture and our technology and so on. So that's why I started the festival. And my mission is to find cool, funny, challenging, entertaining, independent films from around the world. Sci-Fi London happens normally twice a year. We do a little weekend or October, November, and the main festival's May, June-ish. We've just started a video on demand platform called watchscifi.com. And on that, we've got a load of free shorts, interviews we've done with people over the years. We've got some feature films, old classics that we found, and then films that we've got by independent filmmakers that have been in the festival, we're putting up on as pay-per-view, so you can download to own them or download and just stream them, so that hopefully the filmmakers will start getting some exposure that way. We've been involved in this pretty much since it started, actually, and we've been coming every year. I think it's just nice to be somewhere, you know, where everyone's sort of relaxed and comfortable, you know, everyone's sort of like mind, you know. It's like any fanaticism, you know, when you're with your own tribes. And so on. It's a nice thing to do.
I'm Nadia. I work in an office in real life.
We're allowed to talk about real life while we're here.
Yeah, we leave out the boredom. But today I'm Zoe Washburn, and I do this out of real life because it's much more fun.
And I'm Rosie, and I've been talked by my friends into being Inara Sarah from Firefly. So there's actually four of us all together out of the team. We're recruiting more as we go along, aren't we?
Yeah, we need a Mal.
It's not my favourite show. My favourite show is Voyager, because Voyager is Star Trek for me. We were chatting about it last night, weren't we? It's the one for the girls. It's got girls are in charge of everything, the boys are the seconds, and I don't think that happens very often in comics or sci-fi. It's, you know, if you sit down and think about who are the really strong female characters, and us girls, we need the strong female characters, we like it. It's science fiction. We want that freedom. But Firefly's captured your imagination, whereas Voyager captured mine.
When I first watched Firefly, it's just perfect. I love cowboys, I love space. It's like having lots of Han Solos and a female version that I can dress up like.
I live quite locally and I had no idea this was going on. So this is the sixth year, I think. We came last year, so the fifth year. Just had a really brilliant time. It was superb. Yeah. And to be, as you say, among other people, where you can dress up and people are going, wow, you're so-and-so, rather than, oh my God, look away from the freak.
Yeah, it's precious, actually. It's really important to be able to do that. When you get the older you get, you need it more. I'd never been to a convention until last year. I was terrified. It's amazing. It's just fantastic. Who wouldn't want to do this?
I'm Paul Bird, I'm astrophysicist.
And
I'm a teacher, really, as well. Yeah, go on.
I'm Karen, I'm an artist.
This year, well, I'm a Lego Batman.
And I'm Princess Unikitty, and we're both from the Lego movie. The first time I came, we didn't dress up, but then the second time, I wanted to be Master Chief. So, because he's one of my heroes, so I decided, well, I'll make a Master Chief costume.
Yeah, it was good. I was Daft Punk now, wasn't I?
Yeah. You were Daft Punk Intron. I think you've got to be creative, because if you start worrying about what kind of blue something is and say, oh well, that's not the right blue. I mean, we saw the monochrome Flash Gordons before. They looked awesome. And I think a little bit of creativity like that just makes it stand out even more.
You don't take it that seriously.
I like making things because I've got an art background. I make sculpture and it's something that is a bit of fun.
I just think everyone should come along, dress up a bit, have a nice time and chat to people who are into similar things. It's rare you can do that.
Veronica, I'm a finance systems director.
Juno, I am a student.
Dave, I work at a university.
I like the idea that people can just be like who they want here and kind of explore that without being, you know, seen as being unusual or weird. I think that's really good. That's a nice environment.
Just the family fun and all the cosplay that we just get to dress up. The BioShock Infinite, some of the cosplay from that is very, very good. All the stormtroopers going around.
And we got photobombed by the Joker earlier.
We are the Galactic Knights. We are here as costumed characters for the entertainment at the Sci-Fi Weekender. I am Daphne, this is Fred, Velba and Shaggy.
Hi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say hi, guys.
Jeez.
The Galactic Knights are a costumed charity group. We are professional level costumes. We provide characters for entertainment for various events. We also do charity collections. We've been running for about 6 years now. We specialise in sci-fi fantasy. We also do comic book characters. So you'll get things like anything from the Marvel Universe, you'll get cartoons and comics. We've got a strong Lord of the Rings set here this weekend. A lot of our members are in the industry, either as actors or voice actors, costume designers, stuntmen, props, you know, that all of that kind of thing. Then we have people from like the normal walk of life who don't do that sort of crazy thing for a living as well. So we never
grow up and just want to play dress up.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. We also do horror costumes as well. Horror costumes.
And also video games.
Video games from time to time, yep.
We really love the Sci-Fi Weekender. We're here every year and it's one of the few times of the year where we get this many of us together. There's about 40 of us here this weekend. And so it's a chance for us all to meet up, because we come from all over the country.
I am complete!
Okay. There's always one Joker, isn't there?
There's always one.
We're recruiting him later. This is another thing, actually, that's really great about the Sci-Fi Weekender, is every single year the costume standard for the fans gets higher. So every year we have to raise our game and bring something that's a bit different, that's not been done. And we have to do it to a just escaped from set standard. We'll come to this every single year and there'll be at least one or more people where we go, ooh, that's really good, we're going to go and talk to him. And that was that guy. He was dressed as Joker. It was an original design because he does the makeup and because he is smiling all the time. He's got a lot of the character down, which is one of the things we really look for with open-faced characters. It's easy when you're in a Stormtrooper or Darth Vader. The armour does a lot of the work for you. With open-faced characters, we don't have that luxury. So we have to be able to talk and to pose like the characters, look like the characters where possible, that kind of thing.
We get to hang around with each other. We get to meet so many different people from so many, again, different areas of the UK, and even some people from afar.
It brings together like-minded people.
Yeah.
For me, is the thing. You know, I come here, and I know pretty much everybody here is going to be
fluent in geek.
They'll speak geek. They'll know what the hell I'm on about. I won't be talking Klingon to them, or if I am, they'll know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Bless you.
And I know what language that is as well, because that's Red Dwarf.
Yes.
The second question I asked everyone was, what was a formative science fiction experience? So what was something that got people into science fiction or fantasy at an early age?
My dad and I communicated via literature, basically. It was the area in which we kind of had stuff in common and got on well. And Dad had a whole bookshelf of science fiction. That's what Dad was really into. So things like Harry Harrison, Stainless Steel Rat, Isaac Asimov, Philip K. Dick. So I was reading all that sort of stuff before I was really reading anything else. And I loved all the stories and the heroes. I moved on to fantasy fairly quickly. What I really, really loved was fantasy. So David Gemmell, Anne McCaffrey, who has that kind of mix of sci-fi fantasy sort of genre hopping with her Brawn and Brainship series. was absolutely wonderful. I loved that.
Probably Asimov, reading Asimov. I think when I was younger, I read an awful lot of science fiction literature. And now I run a film festival. Every moment I've got spare, I'm watching a film. So you know, that's the job. But I think, it was Team 2001. You know, I don't think there's any one thing that I just sort of went. I've always been a lover of the genre.
I've always liked
sci-fi, video games,
films.
Yeah, just being a young kid,
reading comic books.
For me, it was probably the X-Files. I really liked that, and I got into that when I met Dave. So yeah, I was a bit of a latecomer, but I think that kind of started me off.
Yeah, we used to watch that together before we actually got together, didn't
we? Yeah.
A long time ago.
Yeah. Probably, realistically, it was probably the relationship between Mulder and Scully and the humour, I think, probably that hooked me. But then I got into the kind of science fiction behind it. It's probably, I don't know, maybe being with Dave, maybe you've been part of it, who knows. But he's Scully and I'm Mulder.
All right, yeah, whatever. When I was 12, I read Hot House World by Brian Aldiss. Totally blew my mind because I was very young, obviously. It was the world that he created because he actually created this amazing world where everything has gone completely off kilter ecologically. It's an amazing book. It's great, right?
Me, it was probably either Doctor Who or any superhero ever. Marvel was the first one that I came across, and I really liked the Avengers and Spider-Man, so I got into it from there.
It has to be noted that these two guys are Marvel and I'm DC, so we actually have a division in the family between the two worlds.
He flips between DC and Marvel.
I'm in between. I settle the arguments. So if one's arguing about Quicksilver and one's arguing about the Flash, I'm just like, they're both the same.
Let's go with the sci-fi. I think there has to be two. The first was being 7 and sitting there watching a great big starship come over my head as Star Wars started. That just blew my mind. That opened up my mind to this whole new world of things which could be in the future or which might be many, many years ago, which we don't know about. Wonderful, wonderful experience as a child. And then the second had to be Rutger Hauer at the end of Blade Runner. That was just such a beautiful scene. Again, this notion that you have science fiction, which is normally so hard and clinical, but again, then was so personal and so intimate, and the idea that perhaps the bad guy isn't as bad as you think.
I was raised on Star Wars. My mum couldn't handle the thought that maybe I was going to get into things like not Star Wars. So she kind of made me watch it. It's like, okay, read this book, watch this. And so, yeah, I just kind of really got into that and then into the whole books. But I do a lot of the Star Wars books, so it's very in-depth with the histories of all the characters. I've never ever wanted to be the hero. I've always wanted to be kind of the sidekick. Like in Doctor Who, I always wanted to be a companion, never the Doctor. I don't have a hero complex. I've got to just want to be there and useful complex.
For me, I did want to be the hero, and all the heroes are boys. Hero, not heroine. My dad had shelves and shelves full of pulp fiction, science fiction, with these amazing covers, spaceships in the air and 15 moons and that kind of, and I'd look at these pictures and think, wow, what's going on in here? And read the books, which some were absolutely awful. I learned very quickly, do not judge a book by its cover. But I did read Isaac Asimov, Arthur C. Clarke, all the Dunes, Herbert. Got into Anne McCaffrey massively with the dragons. Loved all that. Can't wait for it to bring out a film. When is it going to happen? I just don't know why they're not doing it now. Because Anne McCaffrey, her books did have, at last, some strong female characters in and exciting stories about them.
Another person I've come with is my dad, and he was always watching, a big fan of films, and probably the earliest films that I remember watching was Alien, even though I wasn't old enough to watch it, but I thought it was absolutely brilliant, especially the chest burster scene, which I thought was great to reenact at every given moment. So probably films like Alien and The Thing, and just watching Star Trek, and I've always grown up with science fiction.
Scooby-Doo has always been one of my passions, and Alice in Wonderland as well. They're my two biggest passions and always have been. I think my definitive geek moment, the moment where I was like, this is who I am kind of thing, was sitting in a RE lesson and my teacher showing us Red Dwarf for the first time, and my mind was blown.
And then with me, it's an oldie, but it's Star Wars. I didn't actually get introduced to it as most people do through the films. I actually had a friend when I was little who had an X-Wing. and I just fell in love with the model. And then it wasn't for another at least a year before I actually watched the films. I didn't realise it was from anything to start with. I just fell in love with all the kind of the models and the figures and things. And then kind of that led me into other geekdoms as well.
For me, it was the original series of Star Trek from when I was about 5 years old. That actually set my career path completely, because I'm actually a professional costume designer. So yeah, for me, that was a major part of my life.
Okay, brilliant. So I've got 2 years, basically, until I can start watching Star Trek with my daughter Lyra. And good to hear lots of Star Wars in there, Asimov, obviously.
Yeah, nice range of influences there. So I thought, you know, all these people are really into science fiction. They're serious fans. I wanted to get some recommendations, some new science fiction or fantasy stuff that they would like to share with a wider audience.
Good idea.
Yeah, well, so this is a tough question about, you know, which films should people know about. They should know about everything we screen at the festival and have done over the last 14 years. Yeah, I can't pick one that that is outstanding. I mean, I could give you a list of several you have to see. Ghost with Shit Jobs by Jyn Monroe. We had the world premiere of that a couple of years ago. Manborg by the Kurtensky brothers, I think they're called, the Canadian, and it's an homage to all the sort of bad 80s straight to video releases, you know, with surfer Nazis on anti-grav boards and a half man half cyborg called Manborg and a Japanese guy who speaks six frames out of sync. I mean, it's just glorious. And then, you know, we've had classics like Things to Come, you know, when that was been restored and cleaned up, you know, and a lot of people haven't seen that film. I do have a couple of very, you know, favourite films which I always try and encourage people to see, and one of those is a short made by Chris Markham in 1961. It's called La Jetée. Black and white, 29 minutes of stills with a voiceover. And if you haven't seen La Jetée, then 12 Monkeys, which you may have seen, is directly influenced by that. And in fact, the scene at the airport, if you know the film, at the end of the film, is virtually shot for shot. And it's a fantastic, fantastic love story, beautiful science fiction, and everyone should see that.
Read The Gone Away World. It's a fantastic book. It's sci-fi. It's the best book I've read in years by an author called Nick Harkaway. I'd recommend it to anybody. It's brilliant.
I would recommend that you play Alice the Madness Returns. It's Alice in Wonderland gone wrong. And it's beautifully, brilliantly done.
Rise of Nightmare is on the Kinect. It's a thoroughly rubbish game, but you can punch zombies.
Especially, who doesn't want to punch
who
zombies?
Who doesn't want to punch zombies?
Yeah. One TV show that's airing at the moment, which I think is really underrated by a lot of people, The 100. The writing is fantastic and they keep on coming up with something new.
Don't just watch what's on the screen, but read the books, read the comics, because you get so much more backstory. You know, you get so much more if you just expand. Don't just watch it, read it.
Sometimes it upsets me a little bit when you see things coming to cinema when the book's only been out for a year. It's a bit quick. You know, you're trying to encourage kids to read. You're trying to expand your own imagination and your own ability to dream and think for yourself. And then you're just hit in the face with CGI.
It's fast food everywhere. It's fast food. Fast fiction.
We need to be able to imagine and dream.
Yeah. Watch Firefly. Then Serenity. But watch Firefly.
Last year, I read a zombie series of books called Autumn by David Moody, and they're really good, and he's a British author.
I think there's one that's kind of, people just see it as quite throwaway and kind of dismiss it, but Mars Attacks, I think, is amazing, and I think there's so much more potential to explore through that franchise. I got the original trading cards from the 1960s. Love the Tim Burton film as well. That's another character I do the Martian girl from Mars Attacks, which is a lot of fun. So I've got a massive drag queen style wig for that one. And I just think there's a lot more that can go with it, and the Martians are just ace. They're just brilliant.
I don't think enough people read young adult fiction, and I think there are so many fantastic young adult books out there. Fantasy wise, I would love to recommend three writers. City Sun by Tom Pollock is one of my favourite books. It's so brilliantly written, it's about that thick, so it's lovely value for money. And it's kind of set in an alternate reality London. Gillian Philip, fantasy. Firebrand, I think, is the first one of the trilogy, and that's kind of fairies, but modern, kick-ass, vicious, evil fairies. and Kathleen Dewey, Skin Hunger and Sacred Scars, which proves that fantasy can also be literary and thought-provoking. The science fiction that is working in YA literature as well just really needs looking out for. There's lots of stuff at the moment going on with multi-universe theory and things like that in YA fiction at the moment, which I would love people to discover, because adults tend to look at the YA section and go, not for me. Whereas actually, if you're an adult and you like any science fiction or fantasy, you'd enjoy a lot of what goes on the YA shelves. Beth Reavis, who did Across the Universe, she's very good. Sarah Grant's just written a multi-universe one. There are so many authors. Just go to the YA section and look at it and go, yes, that looks interesting. And
pick up a Bryony Pierce.
Pick up a Bryony Pierce, yes, please. Yes.
Anime. It's got to be anime. Anime is incredible, and I think everyone should try it. Attack on Titan. It's just the story behind it, because it is very science fiction, yet also a bit magic in a way.
If you haven't played any of the Lego games for like Batman or Marvel, you're really missing out. They're such good fun. That's it. Simple. Even though I prefer Marvel, the Batman games are the best ones.
I've just started reading this. It's really good. It's Hollow World by Michael Sullivan. Time travel story, but with a difference. Really good.
I would also recommend a book called Steelheart. It's a very good book about people who gain the power, superpowers, but every time they use them, it makes them more evil.
I would love to see some Robert Rankin films. He writes fantastic literature. It's just beautiful, in-depth work. And to see that either on the small screen or the big screen, I think the small screen would probably work better because it's a little bit more intimate. That would be great fun. But trying to get somebody to have the gumption and the nerve and the courage to go with one of his books will take a lot of doing, but it'd be amazing to see it on the screen.
And one day at Samus Bellucci.
Yeah,
hopefully that would be good.
Yeah, I think TV again would probably suit Sam, although I am working towards sort of like this big event which will culminate in a book which I'm working on called Fallen Angel. That would have to be big screen, and that would have a Hans Zimmer soundtrack, I trust. If I leave one thing behind in all my work, that's there is hope. I throw so much rubbish at my main characters. I grind them down, I bind them into a paste, but at the end of my books, when I finish, I want there to be a bright future for them where hope wins through and things will be alright in the end.
Wow, there's loads of things that I just don't know anything at all about there, which is brilliant. And again, sorry, Ben, I really want to hear some more Darth Elvis. Is that possible?
I think that should be possible. Let's close with another snippet of Darth Elvis and the Imperium.
Brilliant. And next year I'm coming to the festival with you. We've had a competition winner.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so we had the competition on episode 3.
Houston, we have a winner.
Houston, we've had a winner. And Steve Bullock has won 3 bags of Slow Brew Club coffee.
Wow.
You lucky, lucky Steve.
You don't know how lucky you are.
It feels good, in a way, that someone's won it. But
finally.
A bit disappointing, because we don't... Should we do another competition?
Yeah, absolutely.
So this time, let's do a slightly easier competition,
yeah.
Shall we?
Yeah.
And we need a prize. I tell you what, I can't give away your your Candyman outfit, but that prototype Cosmic Shed t-shirt.
So this is a t-shirt that we made for me to go to the Sci-Fi Weekender, and it's a men's small? Yeah, it's a small, but it's quite generous. It's not a skinny fit. You don't have to be a man to enter the competition.
No, you don't.
You can see pictures of it.
Yeah, have a look on the Facebook page, I think. Gauge the thing, see if you want the t-shirt, and enter the competition.
Let's have a question relating to the Candyman, my ridiculous costume that I made for the Sci-Fi Weekender. The Candyman appeared in the Doctor Who story, The Happiness Patrol, but who played Helen A in that story? Many people already know that, very famous actor. But email your answer to
thecosmicshed@soundofscience.co.uk, and the first person to send us the correct answer will win Ben's t-shirt.
One more time, that address?
thecosmicshed@soundofscience.co.uk.
Good luck. And we promise to wash it.
So, thank you very much for listening.
And thank you to everyone that I met at the Sci-Fi Weekender. Thank you to everyone who agreed to do an interview.
And we'll be back very soon with episode 6 proper, Gravity. Chris Hadfield, Hattie Briggs, Laura will be back.
Laura will be back. Yeah. In the meantime, you can check out thecosmicshed.com.
Find us on Twitter.
At thecosmicshed.
Of course, we're on Facebook.
And on iTunes and many other podcasting platforms.
Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye. The Cosmic Shed.
Science fact.
Science fiction.
And everything in between.